Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Seg.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Kosafa Show, where we hear from the former Zambia national team coach Patrice Bumel, who is now in charge of a powerful Ivory Coast team and seeking to guide the Elephants to the World Cup finals next year in Qatar. We've spoken to him about his views on that journey, but also about Africa's potential at future global tournaments.
We'll also get the views of FIFA's chief women's football officer, Sarai Behrman, on how the global governing body plans to develop the game, not only in the Kosafa region, but also the rest of Africa.
First, we hear from FIFA Secretary General Fatma Samoura, who's recently been in South Africa during the Kosafa qualifiers for the CAF Women's Champions League. She says the development of the women's game is a top priority for the organization and that they've got great plans ahead in the coming years.
As you know, each of the regional, the zonal unions of football in Africa receive every year $1 million from FIFA. And under this program, what we want to achieve is to make sure that girls from the age of 10 who want to play football have an opportunity to do so in the region and also to be gradually reaching the elite football. And the second program that we are supporting COSAFA on is the development of the coaching. Starting tomorrow, there will be 25 coaches who are going to be presented for them to be licensed in grassroots football. FIFA is investing a lot in school competition. And the reason is that we have already seen in France in 2019 during the FIFA Women World Cup, the level of competence of the South Africa Football Association, but also the development of the games, of the women game in South Africa. And South Africa being the economic engine of this sub-region, we want through STAFA that other members of COSAFA be emulated and also be able to reach the same level of competition. Today is an opportunity also for us to witness how good this region has been in promoting club football. And, you know, in 2 years, in 2023, we will be experiencing the first expanded FIFA Women's World Cup from 24 teams to 24 to 32 teams. And our hope is to see more than one COSAFA member association participating to this World Cup that will be hosted for the first time also in the history of FIFA by two different confederations, and that will be played respectively in New Zealand and in Australia.
Madam, also you're very passionate about issues surrounding gender-based violence. How are you giving support in terms of that area?
Well, this is part also of the social role that football can play, especially in countries where gender-based violence is a real issue. And I think South Africa, the issue of gender-based violence need to be treated in different angles. And if the football, the women football legend, but also the male football players and the football officials can help broadcasting, diffusing, expanding messaging that no woman on earth, no matter what she does not deserve to be treated with violence, we will be making something good for our society. Women's players can play a major role in how the changes can be brought about at the community level because they represent role models for their community and for all the young girls that are looking up to them. And we would like to use football in a way that the messages that are sent across the countries composing COSAFA are well accepted because they are delivered by people who are from the country, who have the competence, who have the knowledge, and also who sometimes have experienced this kind of violences in their own home.
And lastly, madam, this is the first Champions League for women in Africa. How confident are you that even the finals that are going to come with all the zones together is going to be a success?
Well, the presence of the women leadership of football, global women leadership football, is already a testimony that for us, it's critical that club football be developed in Africa. Because as you know, the fan basis for the club is something really that boosts the development of football in all the continents. And this first edition has already shown by the level of media coverage that it has been receiving, because I'm part of a forum of journalists who have been following the launches of this first edition since the beginning, means that it can only grow.
Sarai Behrman echoes the thoughts of Fatma Samura and gives more detail on the important activities off the pitch that will help to grow the women's game in the CASAFA region.
So CASAFA is a very strong region in terms of the competitions that they offer here. I think they're one of the regions in Africa that is offering competitions to all age levels on a very regular basis. So FIFA is helping support those competitions, but in addition to that, we are also working to develop the game around the competitions. So for example, we have a D-license coaching course, which we are supporting alongside the tournament today, where we will be educating teachers in schools who will then become coaches of these young under 15 girls teams that we see playing in the Legacy tournament today. In addition, we are specifically supporting a Women in Football Administrators course. It's very important to see more women in the administration of our game. And by providing capacity building, by giving them a network, by giving practical school to those administrators, it will help us to see more figures like Madame Samura and myself participating in the administration of the game.
And with the Champions League being a first and the qualifiers as well, how important is it for FIFA in terms of development, club development of women's football in Africa?
Club football is very important to the growth of our game. Club football is the foundation of women's football. So for CAF to introduce for the first time a Women's Champions League is a huge step, a very important step for women's football in Africa. And I'm really excited to see who will win the final today to join the other teams that will be participating in the final. But I think if the club competition within Africa can be strong and continue to run year after year, we will start to see more competitive African teams at the international level as well. So very important step, very exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing the fruits.
We're just into our last question that now there's going to be more sports for African teams in terms of the World Cup as well. Having seen South Africa in 2019 and maybe this year when Zambia went to the Olympics, so you see a lot of potential in that, African teams going to the international stage and doing so much better?
Yes, absolutely. I think whilst we see club foundation, it's the foundation, well, national teams are the driver of development. When we have national teams that are active, that are competing on a regular basis, it means the entire pyramid, the whole structure underneath the national team is active as well. All the leagues, the clubs, everything that's feeding into that national team selection is active. So it's very, very important to see African teams competing at the highest level at the Olympics for the first time ever in France in 2019. It was amazing to see South Africa there. And it's been a game changer for this country. You know, many, many women that participated in that World Cup are now having professional contracts overseas in Europe and America. So you can see the impact that international football can have. And it's important that we continue to see that grow. And Madame Samura, she mentioned we are expanding to 32 teams now for the Women's World Cup. And that means that one additional team from Africa has an opportunity to attend. And that for me is very exciting. And I can't wait to see the qualifiers.
Patrice Bommel was assistant coach to Herve Renard when Zambia famously lifted the Africa Cup of Nations title in 2012, and again when the Ivory Coast achieved their long-awaited success in 2015. He's now a head coach and plotting his own path to the title with the Elephants in Cameroon next year, and also hoping for a World Cup return for the West Africans in Qatar later in 2022.
The fact that you're going to play six World Cup qualifiers, as you say, six cup finals, means, do you think we're going to have a very high quality football-wise, a high quality Nations Cup, all the teams that are going to be there, except maybe one or two are not playing in the World Cup qualifiers like Gambia, they're all going to be sharp, they're all going to be in tune. It has the possibility to be a good football tournament.
First of all, my opinion about this next Africa Cup will be very good. First of all, because when I look at the schedule and the groups, I think it's well balanced. In each group, you have a very strong teams in Africa, and you have an outsider, which did very well for the qualifiers. So I think we won't get small team. We'll get every time tough game in each group. Playing in Cameroon, it's a football country. I visited the seats and the stadium are very good, and the fans, the atmosphere smell already good football. And I think after the World Cup qualifiers, all the team will get some improvements, because it's when you play such difficult games that your team improves. So I think, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to be on January, because we'll get some good football, and I think everybody in Africa is expecting this Africa Cup incoming.
And obviously, you'll be one of the favorites, and your ambition must be, of course, to win the cup. That is obvious for Cote d'Ivoire. But now, you know, having worked in a cup winning team already with Zambia in 2012, do you think you have a little bit of an advantage in terms of, you know, a few things about, you know, a little bit better about the recipe for winning?
Every competition looks different. We are 4 months before the start of this competition, and it's too early to talk about that. Because the players, they have first of all to concentrate on the club's games. We start the season with the clubs, so it's still very far, but it will be my 7th Africa Cup of Nations participation. I mean, since 2010, I never missed any competition. But of course, it's a lot of experience. I won 2, so it can get a good advantage. But as I said, every competition is different. And it's not because you won in the past that you will get a good advantage. But I will use my experience to say that such competition, we have to be consistent. Sometimes to start very well, like we did in 2019 with Morocco, it's not easy to say we can win, because even if we won the 3 games in the group stage, we lost in the penalty shootout against Benin. And in the opposite side, when we start not very good in 2015 with Ivory Coast, finally, step by step, we get stronger and better after each games. And at the end of the day, we won Africa Cup. So, of course, I will get this experience, but every competition is different. And I'm just looking forward to get my squad 2 weeks before the competition to write the first page of this story. And I believe that my hope is to go as far as possible with the Elephants.
And all your Nations Cup, it must be a little bit like having a family of children. Is there a favorite for you? Can you have a favorite 2012, 2015? Which of the two, perhaps, was the better one for you?
I think in terms of organization and stadium and atmosphere, I think the one in 2013, even if we didn't go far with the Chipolo Polo, but in South Africa, I mean, I play in Mpumalanga Stadium, where it was so fantastic. And the atmosphere, the stadium, the organization was looking like 2010 World Cup. So I think it's my favorite to remember, my memory. But of course, when you win 2 Africa Cups, yeah, to reach a final, to feel the, you know, the atmosphere, to get back home with the trophy, to meet the fans at the airport, it was amazing. So I think out of the 7 participation, I remember every single game since 2010, even in Angola with Chipolo Polo. We finished first in the group stage with Tunisia, Cameroon and Gabon. So it was massive to finish first in the group stage. So, I mean, yeah, every single competition, it's in my mind, in my heart, and I cannot forget that. So every Africa Cup as part of magic.
It's difficult to choose one. It's like choosing between your children, yeah.
Exactly, sir, exactly.
Can I ask you a little bit about the qualities of your squad? First of all, let me ask you this. Does this current generation of Cote d'Ivoire, do they do they not struggle, but do they live a little bit in the shadow of the Drogba, Kolo Touré, Yaya Touré generation?
I think in each country, sometimes it's not like we are lacking talent, because Ivory Coast, we have plenty talent. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe you need 1 or 2 years to regulate, because it's never easy to get success and to win. Of course, in the past, when you look at the lineup, it was like, wow, we are playing a top team in the world, because out of the lineup and the substitutes, they were all playing in top clubs. But today, when I look at my squad and all the players can reach the national team, we have plenty talent. We have some players who get the maturity, like Serge Aurier, Eric Bailly, Max Allen-Gradel, Gervinho, Serédier. They got some maturity, but still we have some young players who just get back from Olympics, and we have talent. So now it's a matter of building a team spirit all together. It was what I was saying a few minutes ago. I think talent is here, but now we have to play such important game to build our team spirit and to show that we are still a strong team in Africa. I mean, Ivory Coast, when you are coaching Ivory Coast in Africa, it's a top team, and everybody expects Ivory Coast to reach high level. But I can tell you, of course, we are a bit in the shade of strong names like Drogba, like Kolo Touré, Yaya Touré, Maestro, DJ Zokora, etc., etc. But still, we still have plenty of talents in this squad.
And so what are the qualities then of the current generation?
I think the quality, I saw that during AFCON 2019 under 23. I think in terms of generosity and commitment, they want to play together. And we saw that during Olympics. So it's a good generation. They know each other since 3-4 years already. And you have talents, pure talent like Amad Diallo, like Ahmed Junior Traoré, such players, Christian Kwame. They are the future of this squad, because they are still young. They have 19 years old. So we just have to let them to work, and we are expecting them to be the new stars in this squad.
Just a couple of general questions. When you played your first match, I think it was Belgium, eh? These days with the Nations League, we are going to have less and less opportunity as Africans to play against national teams. Do you think it's a pity for Africa? We are losing out on a good experience every now and then?
I think so, because it's always a good opportunity. It's a very good window to show that when you play Belgium in Brussels against a top team, even if they mix the team, but we show that we draw 1-1. And everybody was saying, Belgium, they put the B team. But I'm not sure, because it was some players who used to be with this squad. And same for me, I was building the new team. I played with Sinali Diomande, first time in the national team. Some young players, Christian Kwame, and some very young players. So I think it's a good opportunity every time to show that Africa has a good football, has a good players. And I think sometimes Europe underrates a bit African football.
In terms of Qatar, do you think there's a possibility? What do you think about the chances of Africa maybe making a little bit of an impact? I mean, it was a very poor World Cup in Russia for Africa, and we have traditionally one team maybe does well, Ghana, Cameroon, etc. But do you think we have the possibility in Qatar to perhaps have a better World Cup for Africa?
Yes, I do think so. But I was there with Morocco. First of all, I would like to pass a message to FIFA to say I think we don't respect African football when you have out of 53 or 54 federation in Africa, only 5 is qualified to the World Cup. I mean, it's not even 10%. So how can we be represented continents when you don't have one team in each group stage? When you look at Europe, I think if I don't make any mistakes, they have 12 teams in the group stage. So sometimes you can even have two teams from Europe in the group stage of the World Cup.
Yeah.
When you don't have, I think we have 32 teams, so it's 8 groups. And we are only 5, meaning we are missing minimum 3 teams to be represented in each group stage. So I think that we have to push, Africa has to push to ask to put 3 more teams, I mean, in the World Cup. Then we can talk about quality. To, you know, to go to the semi-final, you have to get experience. Like Uruguay, in the last year, they were strong because they used to go to the World Cup. They got some experience. And I think it's the same to Africa. I do believe that if you put some more team will get out of the first round. Because when, if you look at the last World Cup, we went Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, Nigeria, and Senegal, meaning Ivory Coast, Ghana, Cameroon, South Africa, they stay home. And I think such a team deserves to go every World Cup. And if you put 3 more teams, I'm sure, I have no doubt that you will get more teams getting to the second round. So it's my first opinion. Afterwards, of course, I expect one team to reach the semi-final. In 2010, Ghana was not very far, and Algeria in 2014. So we just have to continue working to be more efficient, all Africa, and to show this continent is a football continent, of course.
And is there a danger someone like you can be put into a hole of national team coach only, that you perhaps, because you haven't worked at a club, or you worked very short while, I think, at Lille, but you know that it's a different ball game, and that you can be pigeonholed, that you are a national team guy, you're not a club guy. Is that a danger for you, perhaps?
No, because I start my first experience, I spent 4 years in Nîmes in my club. I was player, and then I became assistant coach. So I worked 3 years in Nîmes. Then I worked 6 months in Lille. But afterwards, you know, I love working every single day. To give you an example, we are starting the FIFA date next week. But as I did in Zambia and in Angola and here, I'm working with the local boys as well. So, okay, it's not like I've got a game every weekend, but I'm working. I mean, it's not only 2 weeks per month, two games per month. It's just I'm working every single day, and I need that. And of course, my will is one day to show that I'm ready for a club, and I'm very excited about that. I don't have any limit, and I know it's 2 different jobs, but I can put the cap as a national coach, and I can put a cap for a club coach. I have no problem with that.
That's it for another episode of the CASAFA Show. We look forward to your company again in 2 weeks' time, when we will be in the throes of the CASAFA Women's Championship that starts in Nelson Mandela Bay on the 28th of September. And we'll also be looking ahead to next month's World Cup qualifiers.
Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokoloduma Radio, CASAFA.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.casafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.